Anyway, so we're continuing Exodus to Easter, and we're going through what led up to Easter morning. And next week that'll culminate, and then on Good Friday, John is going to bring that all home for you guys. So we're going to continue that a little bit today. As we last left, the first plague is passed. God has turned the blood back into water. And if he wouldn't have done that, everybody would have died. And so Exodus 8:2 is going to open the next plague. And when we read this, we think, big deal. The next plague is God's going to bring some frogs into the country. And we think, big deal. Going to be some frogs on the land. Exodus 8:2. But if you refuse to let them go, behold, I will plague all your country with frogs. Now, back in Pickerington, when I lived there, and some of you guys have heard this before, we had about a block from our house was the grade school, and behind the school they had a little pond. It wasn't much bigger than this room. But I would walk my dogs back there in the springtime, and there'd be maybe a couple dozen frogs. And I would have my headphones on, and you guys know how loud I like my music. And those couple of dozen frogs were so loud that I could hear them over my music. And that was just a couple of dozen. So now picture hundreds of millions of these things covering the land of Egypt. The noise would have been deafening, but the noise was the least of their problems. Can we get the next slide, please, John? This is Hecht over here. You can see she has the head of a frog. And so frogs were gods to the Egyptians. And this makes a big problem for them because they can't kill the frogs because they worship them as gods. And so now there's millions of these things all over the land. And it's not like you picture, here's a couple frogs here and here's a couple frogs there. Exodus 8:3. The Nile shall swarm with frogs that shall come up into your house, into your bedroom, on your bed, and into the houses of your servants and your people, and into your own ovens and your netting bowls. So you see, these frogs are every place. This wasn't just a few frogs along the banks of the river. Can you bring up the next slide, please, John? This is what it was like. All over the land of Egypt, there was no place you could go. You couldn't go into your homes. You couldn't go outside. You couldn't go out and take care of your goats. You couldn't do anything without stepping on frogs. And you couldn't step on frogs because they were little gods. And so the people were trapped wherever they were. They couldn't walk. They couldn't sleep. They couldn't do anything. So you start to see the severity of the plagues when you start to see things like this and understand what it was really like. So Pharaoh refuses to listen and let the people go, and Aaron raises his staff, and millions of frogs come out. And so the magicians of Pharaoh do the same thing, and they wave their magic wands, and even more frogs appear. But once again, Pharaoh didn't notice what he should have noticed, and that was that his magicians could only add to the plagues. They couldn't do anything to take the plague away. And Pharaoh failed to notice this, but in his mind, he's thinking, well, my guys can do just what your guy did, so why should I listen to your guy? We get into that mindset sometimes, but this plague is going to get Pharaoh's attention. They can't sleep because of the noise. They can't cook because there's frogs in the kitchens. Exodus 8:8. Then Pharaoh called Moses and Aaron and said, plead with the Lord to take away the frogs from me. At least Pharaoh is starting to see where the plagues are coming from. And from my people, and I will let the people go to sacrifice to the Lord. Now what happens next is a pattern of diplomacy that the Bible tells us that we should apply to our leaders, governors, presidents, so on and so forth. Exodus 8:9. We're to pray for and honor our elected officials. So look at how Moses handles this situation. Moses said to Pharaoh, the honor is yours. Tell me, when shall I entreat for you? When shall I ask God to take this plague away and your servants and your people that the frogs be destroyed from you and your houses and that they may be left only in the Nile? God and Moses have given Pharaoh a chance to save face here. If Pharaoh would have let Israel go at this point, it would have still looked like Pharaoh was calling the shots. He still would have been the man in the eyes of the Egyptians, and everything would have been okay. So God is giving him this opportunity, but he doesn't take it. He says, tomorrow, have God take the frogs away tomorrow. But God doesn't just send the frogs away. He just lets them die off. And now you have a problem in the land. You have tens of millions of little frog corpses that are dead and drying and stinking up the land all over the place. Exodus 8:14. The Egyptians piled them into great heaps, and a terrible stench filled the land. So as you read these things, you start to get an idea again, guys. That we gloss over this stuff when we read this, and we think, and this is another thing, we think the plagues went boom, 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 and they didn't. And we'll get into that in just a few seconds. But you see the severity of the plagues and how it really affected these people. So even after all this, Pharaoh goes back on his promise and refuses to let Israel go. Exodus 8:15. But when Pharaoh saw that there was a respite, in other words, the trouble was past, everything's okay now, the sun's shining, he hardened his heart and would not listen to them as the Lord had said. Now listen, this is important because false teachers will say that God picked out Judas to betray Jesus, that God picked up Pharaoh just to condemn him so he'd end up in hell. Is that what it says? He hardened his heart. Who hardened Pharaoh's heart? Was it God or was it Pharaoh? Pharaoh had free choice here what to do. If Pharaoh hardened his own heart, that means he became stubborn and in opposition to God. He set himself in opposition to God. And that's what this means here. So he goes back on it. And he's about to pay a huge price. Now for the next plague, God gives no warning. He just sends the plague. Listen, you ever been out walking? Those of you, like, you walk around the path and all of a sudden you're like, there's gnats everywhere. You have a bunch of swarming gnats, and it's like they have no, where did they come from? They're just like in this one area, and they're just like swarming, and they're really annoying. So you either have to swipe them out of your way, or you have to walk out around them. So this is the next plague that's coming. Slide 3, please, John. You can see, this is a few of the gnats. You guys, I'm sure, have experienced this. Exodus 8:16. Then the Lord said to Moses, say to Aaron, stretch out your staff and strike the dust of the earth so that it may become gnats in all the land. Something to notice here. Remember back at the beginning when we started this? What did Moses do every time God called on him? Made excuse after excuse after excuse after excuse. So God says, okay, I'm going to still use you, but you're not going to get the glory. Aaron's going to get the glory. You see who God's performing the miracles through? It's his brother Aaron. And this is a punishment against Moses because Moses didn't immediately obey God. And so God said, have it your way. And we'll see that happens a lot. So we get into billions and billions and billions of these little gnats that cover the land. Exodus 8:17. And they did so, stretched out their staff. Aaron stretched out his hand with his staff and struck the dust of the earth. And there were gnats on man and beast. All the dust of the earth became gnats in all the land of Egypt. Listen, the very dirt, they're walking along, and the dust that they kick up as they take a step immediately turns into gnats. They couldn't go any place. They're in your eyes, they're in your ears, they're in your nose, they're in your mouth, they're in your hair, they're in your clothes, they're in your shoes. There's no place to go to escape these. The itching and the misery that they call would be almost unparalleled. And this is what's going on with this plague. This plague was directed at the Egyptian god named Geb, G-E-B, who is god over, believe it or not, dirt. They had gods of everything in Egypt. But now for the first time, Pharaoh's magicians could not duplicate the miracle. They couldn't do it. First time. They're from here on out completely powerless before God. Exodus 8:19. Then the magician said to Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. They have finally realized that this is the real God that's doing this. This is the guy who's in control of everything. He's the one that's making all this happen. This is the first time that they begin to realize this. But Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he did not listen to them as the Lord had said. The magicians warn him that we're powerless against this God. Now, up until this point, the plagues were directed, Egypt's this big land, and along the Nile River, the Nile runs down through Egypt, and down here on the in the Delta region, if you go back 400 years, Joseph is in the land, and he sends for his family, and they come, and the Pharaoh was friends with Joseph, and he says, settle your family here in the best part of the land. So it's called Goshen. So that's where the Israelites are living, and they've now grown. Some sources, some Hebrew sources say we're at 6,000, and some Secular sources say that we're at 600,000 by this time. Nobody really knows, but there were a lot of them. So they've grown populous in the land. Now, believe it or not, they also had a god of the flies. The god of the flies was named Khepri, K-H-E-P-R-I. Can you bring that slide up, John? This was their god of the flies. You see, he has a head of a fly here. This is one of the hundreds of gods they worshipped. And this is what's going on with the plagues. God is battling the gods. And he's demonstrating his mastery over them. So guess what plague comes next? Flies. God sends Moses back to Pharaoh. And for the first time, God makes a distinction between all the land of Egypt and all the land of Goshen, where the Israelites are. Up until now, the plagues have affected you guys and these guys. But starting now, there's going to be a difference. There's going to be hundreds of billions of flies on you guys, and they're going to stop right here. Nothing over here. Not a single fly. And God's making a distinction here for the first time. Exodus 8, 21 and 22. If you will not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies on you and your servants and your people and into your houses. And the houses of the Egyptians shall be filled with swarms of flies, and also the ground on which they stand. Now, those of you who have farm animals know that how annoying just small amounts of flies can be, right? Cows spend their entire life, using cows generically, Ed, cows spend their entire lives doing two things, eating and swatting flies. That's what they do, okay? So, can you bring up the next slide, John? You can see a few little flies here on the poor animals and on the guy here. Now imagine the misery of this plague. The flies filled the Egyptian houses, their beds, their kitchens, their bathrooms, their public areas. Every place you went, there were flies. The word used for flies here in the Bible is a particular kind of fly, and it's called a dog fly. Here's the problem with that for the Egyptians. When a dog fly lands on something, it immediately lays eggs. Those eggs almost immediately hatch, and the larvae immediately starts eating the host upon which it lands. So now you start to see how bad these plagues really are. Not just a bunch of flies that you swat away off your hamburger when you're cooking out. God then gives Pharaoh, listen, God's a fair God. He gives Pharaoh 24 hours to repent. He says, you have till tomorrow to change your mind. And when he doesn't, then they bring forth the flies. Exodus 8, 24. This is after 24 hours. He says, by tomorrow at this time, I'm going to bring this plague if you don't let my people go. Then the Lord did so, and there came great swarms of insects into the house of Pharaoh and the houses of his servants, and the land was laid waste, desolate, completely destroyed, because of the swarms of insects in all the land of Egypt. The entire land was utterly and completely destroyed. And this is what God is sending to the Egyptians. Now listen, this is important to know, because we picture, okay, that plague didn't work, let's move into this one. Okay, that plague didn't work, let's move into this one, but that's not how it worked. There's periods of time, months, at least months, maybe years between these plagues as these things are going on. Pharaoh asked Moses, again, pray that God will take away the flies. And Moses says, okay, but you better not be lying this time. You better let us go or it's going to get worse. So God then removes every single fly from all the land of Egypt, every one, none left. Exodus 8:32, but Pharaoh hardened his heart this time also. Did God make Pharaoh turn his back on God? Did God pick Pharaoh out for what's about to happen to him? Pharaoh did that all by himself. Okay. Pharaoh asks Moses to pray that God will take away the flies. And so he does. Exodus 8:32. Pharaoh hardens his heart. But note something here. God is going to send Moses back with a warning and a command after this. He didn't keep his word. God says, let your yes be yes and your no be no, and anything more than that's of the devil. Exodus 2:3. For if you refuse to let them go and still hold them, behold, the hand of the Lord will fall with a very severe plague upon your livestock that are in the field. the horses, the donkeys, the camels, the herds, and the flocks. So this is what's coming next. Now, slide number 6, please, John. This was a cow god. Her name was goddess. Her name was Hathor. Face of a human, ears of a cow. Okay, if you could see this, they come out here like a cow's ears. Another one of the gods they worshipped. So again, you're seeing that all these plagues are directed against gods of the Egyptians. So not one animal dies in all the land where the Israelites are staying. Over here in Goshen, everything's fine. Over here in the land of Egypt, all the animals are dead. They've all died out. Now what's the problem there? Food source is gone. Okay, and it's about to get worse. You think by this time, Pharaoh would be thinking, but he didn't. He doesn't get it. This showed not only God's mastery over the other gods of the Egyptians, when he saved the Israelis' cattle alive, he showed his complete ability to protect those who are his, those who belong to him. And so God's demonstrating that here also. So the plague comes the next day. Once again, God gives Pharaoh 24 hours to repent and to change his mind. The next day, all the cattle in Egypt die. So Pharaoh hears that even though all their cattle is dead, that over here in Israel, the cows are just mooing away. And so he sends some officials over there to check it out and see if it's true. And the officials come back and they tell him, yep, it's true. Not one of their animals has died. Pharaoh still hardens his heart and refuses to let Israel go. So the sixth plague is released. Once again, there's no warning to Pharaoh. Listen, sometimes God will warn us that he's going to do something and sometimes he won't. We can apply this to our lives. Moses goes into Pharaoh's chamber and he takes up a handful of soot. You guys have fireplaces? You ever cleaned out a fireplace and you get the little shovel thing and you shovel and what happens? It becomes smoke again, right? Soot and dust everywhere. And so he goes in and he takes up a handful of that and throws it in the air. Poof, and now this dissipates into smoke. It becomes fine powdered dust. And that fine powdered dust lands on everyone, on every animal, on every person, and it breaks out in painful, pussing boils all over everyone, head to tail. I know some of this is gross, but this is what's going on here. We like to gloss over this stuff. The plague is directed at Isis. Isis was the Egyptian goddess of medicine, and this was to show that their gods had no ability to heal at all. And so everybody's breaking out, from Pharaoh and his magicians down to the lowest servants. They've all broken out in these boils now. Exodus 9:12. So they took soot from a brick kiln and went and stood before Pharaoh. And as Pharaoh watched, Moses threw the soot into the air and boils broke out and people and animals are alike. Now listen, here's how we know that the plagues didn't happen. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. In the last plague, all the animals died. And in this plague, the boils break out on the people and the animals. So they had to have time to replenish the animals that they lost in the last plague. So some period of time had to go by here for the Egyptians to get more animals for this plague to fall upon. Now, God's about to get serious. And I know it sounds like it's been serious up to this point, but as the saying goes, the worst is yet to come. Exodus 9:14. For this time, I will send all my plagues on you and your servants and your people, so that you may know that there is no one like me in all the earth. God's saying, if you don't get it by now, you're about to. God then sends this message, Exodus 9:15. And this is an important one. Listen, this is the Easter message right here. This is Easter. By now, I could have lifted my hand and struck you and your people with a plague to wipe you off the face of the earth. God said, I could have just snapped my fingers and all you people be dead, gone. I didn't have to go through all this. But he had a purpose for all this. And that purpose is what we call Easter morning. And we're going to get to that. This verse tells Pharaoh that any power that he has, God's saying, I could have just struck you people dead. This is important. God's saying, you don't really have any power, Pharaoh. Only power you have is because I allow you to have it. Listen, Jesus repeated this, okay, before Pilate on the day of his crucifixion, John 19:11, part A, Jesus answered him, "You would have no authority over me at all unless it had been given to you from above." We need to keep that in mind. Everything we have, every breath we take, every heartbeat, everything is a gift from God. And he could take it away in a heartbeat, anytime he wants. The next plague is fearsome in a lot of ways. It's directed against the Egyptian goddess Nut. Nut is the goddess of the sky. Exodus 9:18. "Behold, about this time tomorrow, I will cause a very heavy hail to fall, such as never has been in Egypt from the day it was founded until now." Now, they've seen hail before, but nothing about what's coming. This is going to be the worst hailstorm in all of Earth's history. And once again, we picture a big deal, some hail is falling. But lightning is flashing and thunder is booming. You ever been in a really, really bad thunderstorm? It's the noise of the thunder that scares you to death. And so the thunder is so loud that it's deafening people. And the lightning is flashing all around. And in the midst of that, great size hail chunks start to fall on the people, on the plants. Now, you have to remember, animals are dying, people are dying, Pharaoh is losing his entire nation here. But we know again that this plague didn't come right on the heels of the last plague. And how do we know that? Because in the last plague, the animals died of boils and things, okay? Isis couldn't heal them. And now in this plague, hail's going to fall on the animals and kill them again. So this is now the third time that all the animals in the land of Egypt have been destroyed by God. Pharaoh must have been pretty thick-headed here. By this point, some of the Egyptians are listening. They take their animals and their servants and their slaves into their houses and preserve their lives. But most still trusted in their own gods. It's easy for us to look at them and say, who's dumb enough to believe in a god of dirt? Who's dumb enough to believe in a god with the head of a fly? Who's dumb enough to believe in a god of frogs? But listen, we do the same thing. We just call our gods by different names. Jobs, money, kids, prestige, opportunities. We call our gods by different names. But anything that's more important to you than God is God. And that's what the plagues are trying to show people, who God really is. So God allows the Egyptians to bring their cattle in, and some listen and some don't. So Moses stretches out his hand, and a thunderstorm starts, and the hail starts to fall all over the land of Egypt. But over here in Goshen, over here where the Israelites are, right here, it's storming up a storm, and hail's falling, and lightning's flashing. But over here, nothing, the sun's shining. They're cooking out, throwing frisbees. Everything's fine. It's a beautiful day. Exodus 9:27. This is an important verse because a lot of people say, see, Pharaoh repented here. Exodus 9:27. "Then Pharaoh sent and called Moses and Aaron and said to them, 'This time I have sinned. The Lord is in the right and I and my people are in the wrong.'" A lot of people say, see, Pharaoh repented and got saved there. Wrong. That's not repentance. Okay? Pharaoh seems to have a change of heart. David Guzik calls it false repentance. Wrong. It's not false repentance. It's confession. Confession and repentance are two different things. There's a lot of our religions that teach you could go in and talk to the priest or the head or whoever it is, the pastor or whoever, and you could confess your sins to them and everything's fine. Wrong. Confession does not absolve your sins, ever. Does nothing. Repentance is what absolves you of your sins. Confession, simply admitting that you're wrong. And that's what Pharaoh does here. And he doesn't do it to God. He tells Moses and Aaron, "I've sinned." And later on he'll say, "I sinned against you, not against God." So let's let God show us the difference between repentance and confession. Exodus 9:28. "Plead with the Lord, for there has been enough of God's thunder and hail. I will let you go, and you shall stay no longer." Moses raises his hands, and the hail stops, just like that. Exodus 9:35. "So the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, And he did not let the people of Israel go, just as the Lord had spoken through Moses. Listen, this is what we do. By we, I mean Brian. I have done this 1,000 times in my life. Okay, if there weren't too many kids in here, I'd tell you a story, some of Brian's stories. But listen, we all do this. God, I'll do anything you say. God, just get me out of this mess, and I'm yours for the rest of my life. And as soon as the problem's passed, yeah, listen, I'll check with you next time I need something, God. It's what Pharaoh is doing. It's what Brian does. It's what we all do. We'll get back to you when we need you, God. Until then, how about if you just hang out at the ready and just be prepared in case that happens to be today. And yeah, I'm not putting anybody down. I'm talking to me. This is me. Now it's too late for Pharaoh, though. Exodus 10:1. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go to Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servants, that I might perform these signs of mine among them." You do not ever want to be here. Ever. Next slide, please, John. Romans 1:28b. God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper. God's knocked on his heart. And he says, listen, Pharaoh, there's something not right. You need to get right with me. And Pharaoh says, yeah, maybe next week. And God knocks on his heart and he says, look, Pharaoh, you need to get right with me. And Pharaoh says, yeah, maybe next week. And God knocks on his heart and says, Pharaoh, you need to get right with me. And Pharaoh says, yeah, maybe next week. And the next week comes and God says, you're out of chances. You've had every opportunity to get right with me. I've sent my plagues, I've sent my spirits, I've sent my representatives, I've sent my prophets, and you ignored every one of them, and now it's too late. If this is the way you want it, you got it. I'm going to turn you over to what you want. And listen, when you hit this point, there ain't no coming back. Slide 7, please, John. Justin Peters is a tremendous pastor, so he put this up. Many think of God's most fearsome acts of judgment as earthquakes, fires, pestilence, and famine. Not necessarily. The most fearsome act of God's judgment is when he simply gives people over to their depraved minds. Don't ever want to reach that point, guys. If God's knocking on your heart, and he's telling you need to get right with God. And listen, it doesn't necessarily mean you're not saved. We could have sin in our life. I have to learn this lesson over and over and over. Me. Over and over I have to learn this lesson. But there comes a point when God has enough. So once again, God's going to tell Moses the main reason for the plagues. Okay? Remember, God's already told them, I could have wiped you people out anytime I wanted. Without even a second thought. Exodus 10:2. And we're almost at the end, guys. That you, it starts in the middle of a sentence, obviously this started in the previous verse, that you may tell in the hearing of your son and your grandson how I have dealt harshly with the Egyptians and what signs I have done among them, that you may know that I am the Lord. Once again, we see the main reason for the plagues against Egypt was not for the Egyptians, it was for the Hebrews. So that you could tell your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren, and they could tell their children and they could tell their children, and all the way up to 2019, you could tell how great God is, the God that you serve. That was the reason for the plagues. Months go by. Now remember, the hail's killed everything. All the greenery, all the crops. Everything's died. Everything's dead. Months go by. And we know that because the autumn crops are about to be destroyed by locusts. See, the spring crops came up, and they were destroyed by the hail. And now 6 months go by, and now it's time for the wheat harvest and the barley and the other crops have come up. So we have about a six-month period here since the last plague. And now God's going to send locusts. Exodus 10:4. If you refuse to let my people go, behold, tomorrow I will bring locusts into your country. Listen, locusts bring famine, absolute and total destruction of all plant life. If you don't have any plant life, guess what? You don't have any food for your animals either. So even if you were able to replenish your animals during that six-month period, now all their food sources are going to be taken away, and guess what? The animals are going to die again, fourth time. Fourth time God's wiped out all their animals. This wasn't just a few locusts. Exodus 10, 5, part A. And they shall cover the face of the land so that no one can see the land. There are so many locusts, you can't see the dirt, you can't see the ground. If they were in church here, if you were in your house, you couldn't see the carpet or the flooring. It's like a moving wave in the ocean of insects, and they cover thousands and thousands of miles. There's no place you can go to escape them. Can you bring up the next slide, please, John? Here you can see this poor elephant in the midst, this was about 3 years ago, over in Africa, and this is a locust swarm. And you can see how bad it's just starting to get for the poor elephant here. And this is what the Egyptians are going through. It was a terrible, terrible plague. And when the locusts are gone, so is everything else. Egypt is utterly and completely destroyed. Now, you think I'd get your attention. Pharaoh's own people come to him, and they say, look around. Can you see? Look around. There's nothing left. There's nothing left for you to be king over. There's nothing left. Let these people go. And Pharaoh listens. Partly. He tells them, tell you what, men can go, but you leave the women and the children here. Because he wants them to come back as their slaves. Now, they don't have anything to do anymore. They can't build anything, they can't farm, they can't do anything. There's nothing left. But he still wants them to stick around. The Bible says that the ground was black with locusts, and not one green part of any plant was left. Not one, for thousands of miles. So for the second time, Pharaoh summons Moses and confesses that he has sinned against the Lord. Can you play that, please? But listen, like the last time, Pharaoh had no intentions of getting right with God. All he wanted was for God to get him out of this mess. Just get me out of this mess, God. I'll go to church every Sunday, sing in the choir with Tim. I'll teach Sunday school. Just get me out of this mess. And that's all Pharaoh wants. God removes every single locust, but Pharaoh was out of chances. Once again, he gives him no warning, and he sends the next to last plague. Absolute darkness. This plague was directed at Ra, the sun god, and to show that the Egyptian gods had no power over anything. Absolute darkness. The Bible says that for 3 days it was so dark that nobody moved, nobody took a single step. They could see nothing. It wasn't dark like when you close your eyes at night and turn the TV off. It was a darkness that could be felt. And listen, this is going to be one of the punishments of hell. This plague. No lamp could illuminate this darkness. No candle could shine in this darkness. Nothing could penetrate it. Matthew 8:12, part A. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into the outer darkness. This is one of the descriptions of hell in the Bible. Utter darkness. How many times for those of us who are a little older, how many times you hear people say, I'm just going to be down there partying with Hendrix. I'm going to go down there and party with the Beatles. I'm going to go down there and party with, put a name in there. Nobody's partying with anybody. You're going to hear the screams of everybody around you, but you're not going to see them. You're going to be in outer, absolute darkness. This is one of the plagues that's duplicated in Revelation. This particular verse describes Israel, the sons of the kingdom, that's Israel. But there are 12 other verses about hell being a place of outer darkness in the Bible, and they apply to us. Pharaoh finally says, okay, you guys can leave. I've had enough. You can take your kids, you can take your wives, you can take your teenagers, take them all and leave. Oh, but leave your animals. Why? They didn't have any food. They needed Israel's animals as a food source. And Pharaoh's like, you can go, but you can't take them with you. And Moses is like, sorry, we need to take them to sacrifice to our God. So Pharaoh then says, well, then none of you can leave. Exodus 10:28. One of the most prophetic verses in the Bible. Get away from me. This is Pharaoh talking. Take care to never see my face again. For on the day you see my face, you shall die. And Moses tells him, you have no idea how true that statement is, but I'm not going to be the one who dies. Pharaoh is. And they would never see each other's face again. Moses prepares the Israelites to leave, but Pharaoh changes his mind again. There's a futility in not believing God. It will lead to a hopelessness and to helplessness, to desperation. It'll lead you down a path you didn't want to go down. So at this point, Israel's getting ready to leave, and Pharaoh's going to change his mind again. We have one plague to go. Last plague. And so God gets ready for the final plague. This is what the plagues are about. Jesus hanging on a cross. All the plagues led up to that. And we're going to see how that all comes true next week. How that all comes together and works together. And you're going to understand the plagues a little bit better and why God had to do them. Next Sunday's Cantata Sunday. Please come back for that. And if you stay after that, you're going to learn about the 10th plague, the last plague, the death of the firstborn, the death of God's firstborn. And the reason God's firstborn had to die is because of this. Communion, right here. God's firstborn had to die so that we could live. And that's why we do what we do here. So I hope you guys come back next week and worship our Lord. I love you guys. Can the deacons come forward, please?